There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling the transmission. We control the volume.
We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass.
Or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's being said.
Or we can make things so slow you don't care.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive. It's our show. We can do anything we want because this is
Mystery Playhouse 90.1.
And welcome once more to the Mystery Playhouse. I am the Count, your host of horror.
Oh.
Yes, come in, come in. I was just looking through some of my old travel logs, thinking of building a raft out of them, huh? Oh, just kidding, of course. Though once I really was a castaway on a desert island. In fact, the only other mortal there with me wrote a book on it. He called it Robinson Cross Effects, huh? Yes, we didn't get along too well, though. He never would share. I would ask him for a bite, and he would always get across, huh? Really. He treated me like some sort of slave. In fact, he gave me a new name. So since I was vulnerable to the daylight, he called me Man Die Day, huh? No, I couldn't believe it. I asked, what type of man was he? He said, hopefully I'd never find out, huh? No wonder I was so lonely. Imagine my delight when we discovered some other islanders. They were cannibals, so we had them for dinner. Robinson, that is, huh? Yes, I was a little upset myself. At least my stomach was, huh? I have to admit, though, it proved to me one thing. Like I always suspected, I never really could stand his guts, huh? Well, that brings us to tonight's scary lineup. We'll hear the Wheel Tickles Werewolf, as well as Mystery Theater's The Black Cat. But first, it's Suspense with Jack Finney and Plan X All Scary!
Autolite and its 98,000 dealers bring you Mr. Jack Benny in tonight's presentation of
Suspense.
Tonight, Autolite, following a popular trend, anticipates the strange disappearance of experimental rocket ship Y-272B. The time, the year 2053. The place, the planet Mars. The star, Mr. Jack Benny.
Say, Hap, that was quite a speech you made last night. You were as dynamic as an Autolite stay-full battery.
Oh, that's flattery, Harlow.
And what a battery it is, Hap. The Autolite stay-full is the power-packed pepster that needs water only 3 times a year in normal car use.
I really don't deserve such praise, Harlow.
Why not? That's the battery with the fiberglass retaining mats protecting every positive plate to reduce shedding and flaking and give the Autolite stay-full longer life. As proved by tests conducted according to accepted life cycle standards.
That was really good, eh, Harlow?
Oh, no one could do any better than to visit his nearest Autolite battery dealer, who services all makes of batteries. To quickly locate him, just call Western Union by number
and ask for Operator 25. I'll tell you the name of your nearest Autolite battery dealer where you can get an Autolite stay full.
The battery that needs water only 3 times a year in normal car use. And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite presents transcribed Plan X, starring Mr. Jack Benny, hoping once again to keep you in suspense.
Mr. card. Do you have the card yet?
One more run through the machine.
Turing, when do you think the Earth rocket is arriving?
Tomorrow. But if the Grand Council wanted the card before now, they should have asked me before now.
Is that it? Let me see it.
Here.
13756. Zeno. Assembly line worker. Atomic escalator factory. Turing, this is the man for the job?
He has the specifications called for.
An assembly line worker. Why, it's incredible. Incredible.
Yes? Yes? Right away. You may go in now, Zeno. The Grand Council is ready for you.
One, 13756 called Zeno. Come forward.
Yes, sir.
Zeno, the Grand Council of Mars has a mission for you to perform.
Me? A mission?
You have been selected because of the qualities shown on your work and identity card, Form 42-A. Set habit patterns, attention to detail, no strong emotional or biological drives, and complete suppression of imagination.
Well, I always pride myself that I...
Do not speak unless questioned, Zeno. The Grand Council has other important matters of state.
Oh, of course, of course.
You have heard the telepathone broadcast that an armed rocket from the planet Earth is approaching Mars.
Hmm? Oh, I did hear something about it, yes.
Their course has been plotted as bringing them to a landing on the plane outside the city at 10:14 tomorrow morning.
10:14. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing that.
You will see it, Citizen Zeno.
Me?
You.
Well, I'd certainly like to, but I'm due in the atomic escalator factory at 8. I'm on stair treads, you know. And
we've arranged a leave from your job.
Leave? Well, I'm not arguing with the Grand Council, but I've got a pretty important job there, and...
13756, you've been selected to meet and deal with the Earth rocket.
Me?
You will put Plan X into operation.
Plan X?
Citizen Zeno, every Martian for the last 50 years has been thoroughly grounded in Plan X. If and when a rocket should come from the Earth.
Oh. Oh, Plan X. Oh, you see, I thought you said Plan X. Of course.
Then you understand and accept the responsibility.
Oh, anything to help out.
Those assisting you on the mission will be in contact with you.
Good, good.
Have the other council members any questions?
No, I don't believe so.
13756 called Zeno. You are now officially operating under the provisions of Plan X.
Well, thank you. I took the aerial transmission belt directly home. Let them get along without me at the escalator factory if they could. Besides, it was almost quitting time. I went to bed early that night. Tomorrow was going to be a big day. Plan X. Out of the whole population of Mars, I was picked to carry out Plan X. Oh, I'll admit I had my criticisms of the Grand Council in the past, but this restored my confidence in them. Yes, sir. They couldn't have picked a better Martian. I think I'll have a second cup of ostrich, Mother.
Zeno, you haven't time. You'll be late for the factory as it is.
As I told you, Mother, I'm on leave. Orders of the Grand Council.
Oh, yes, of course. Plan X. But will the Grand Council care if you don't get your job back?
There won't be any trouble. They couldn't replace me in stair treads, and they know it. Pass the gorot, will you, Mother?
Here. But it's fattening, Zeno.
Well, I got a hard task coming up, Mother. I owe it to myself.
And you will be careful, Zeno.
Oh, Mother, if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. It's just an invasion rocket from that stupid planet Earth. So will you stop worrying?
you're just like your father was, Zeno. Too brave for your own good.
I am? Well, it's nothing, really. I took my time going over to the field where the Earth rocket was to land. I got there at 10, with not another soul around. Another few minutes, and I had my pocket radar screen working. Yep, the rocket was coming in, right on time. Then I could hear it out in space, and soon after that I could see it, bearing our first visitors from Earth. Gee, I was thinking they must be a brave crew. I almost felt sorry for them. It wasn't a bad landing. Not the greatest, but not bad. After another 10 minutes, a port in the side of the rocket started to swing open, and I walked over. If I do say it myself, I made quite an impression.
Commander, Commander, look!
Great Scott, what is it?
Commander, I think we've met our first Martian.
All right, keep back, everybody. Dr. Fielding and I will deal with it. Him, whatever it is. Hand me the Martian kit, Parker.
All ready, sir.
Come on, Fielding. We'll be ready for anything.
Right, Commander. Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
I'll try to talk to him.
We Earth people, we friends, friends, we come from out there. Oh, blasted feeling. I feel like a fool.
Let me try, Commander. We bring you presents here. We bring you beads, cloths of many colors. Take them.
You wouldn't have something a little more conservative?
Fielding, he speaks Esperanto.
Incredible, incredible.
Gentlemen, welcome to Mars.
It's almost as if he was expecting us.
Oh, yes, for some days now. Ever since you left Earth, as a matter of fact.
You hear that, Fielding?
Commander, we may very well be in the presence of a superior race.
Well, thank you.
You say you expected us? Everyone expected us?
Oh, certainly.
But you're here alone.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, all other adult Martians are, shall we say, unavailable.
For how long?
Not wishing to pry, but how long are you staying?
Well, they've taken to the hills, have they?
No need to be afraid of us. No need at all.
There's no one in your city over there?
Mainly unavailable. But I'll be glad to show you around. Martian hospitality, you know.
Amazing. Can we go right away, Commander? I'll get Connie.
You can call her, Fielding, but we don't want to blunder into a trap. All right, men. Haul in. Parker, take 3 men and stay here for rocket guard.
Yes, sir.
Ready, Fielding?
All set, Commander. Connie, I want you to meet our first Martian.
Dr. Fielding, I don't believe it.
Miss Morrison, this is,
13756. Call Zeno.
Miss Morrison, this is Zeno.
How do you do?
Well, how do you do?
Incredible. But he's almost handsome in a strange way. And he speaks our language.
Maybe a trick of some kind. Expedition force, on to... To...
It's a little difficult to pronounce.
On to the city!
We marched into the city, which, of course, appeared quite deserted. Plan X. I showed them a few of the sites, the canals, the Og factory, and the hall of the Grand Council. I was walking alongside of Connie, Miss Morrison, who was most unlike the women of Mars. I caught myself showing off, riding the aerial transmission belt with one hand. Finally, I took them all to the art museum.
Oh, Commander, this place, this civilization, it's fantastic, fantastic.
Look at this sculpture, Dr. Fielding, the line, the detail. I've never seen anything so beautiful.
It's nothing, really.
Zeno, you don't mean that you'd...
Well, no. You see, I work at an atomic escalator factory. I'm in stair treads.
Everybody, over here. Look at this.
Oh, what is it?
Why, isn't that what...
Zeno, is this what I think it is?
I'll have to read the nameplate. Oh, yes, a flying saucer from 1952, your calendar. 100 years old.
1952, the year of the flying saucers. Then they did come from Mars.
Oh, yes.
But none of them ever landed on Earth. Why?
It just didn't seem worthwhile. Nothing personal, of course.
I just can't get over this planet. It's so different from anything we imagined.
Now, here's something you might be interested in. Right over here.
What? Looks like a weapon of some kind.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you see, it's a paralyzer ray, 300 years old.
But why do you have it in the museum?
You don't mean that weapons like this are 300 years obsolete?
Well, you might say that, yes. You see, no adult Martian has carried a weapon for hundreds of years.
Well, why not?
Why should we?
But to defend yourself.
Well, we just have no aggressive impulses, that's all.
Well, if someone struck you, wouldn't you strike back?
I couldn't. But it doesn't matter. No one could strike me.
No Martian, that is.
Yeah. We've never had any trouble.
Zeno, you're in the diplomatic service?
The escalator game.
Yet you were delegated to meet us.
Yes, by the Grand Council. You see, we stopped having diplomats handle our important missions years ago. Again, nothing personal, of course.
I see. But you are empowered to deal with us.
Deal with you? I certainly am.
Good. Now, it seems logical to me that we should work out a mutual defense pact. Not right now, of course.
Mr. Zeno! Mr. Zeno!
Who's that?
Well, it looks like children.
We have to see you, Mr. Zeno.
Just some little friends of mine.
Oh, they're darling.
What's the problem, Ormy?
We're building something, and we're all out of uranium. We need some right away, and...
Zeno, does he mean real uranium?
Oh, of course, Dr. Fielding. Oh, it won't hurt them a bit.
We have to have it right away, Mr. Zeno. We just have to have it.
The city was deserted. Where did these children come from?
Oh, you know how it is with kids when they get to playing.
You'll get the uranium for us, won't you, Mr. Zeno? Will you?
Fascinating. What are they playing, Zeno?
Yes. What's the game?
I don't think you've heard of it, Commander. It's called Plan X.
Autolite is bringing you Mr. Jack Benny in Plan X. Tonight's presentation in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Say, Harlow, do you like to make speeches?
Sure, Hap, especially about the Autolite Stay Full battery. Friends, Romans, motorists, lend me your ears while I praise the greatest of the great, the incomparable Autolite Stay Full. The battery that needs water only three times a year in normal car use. The battery that gives longer life as proved by tests conducted according to accepted life cycle standards. The famous Autolite Stay Full has over three times the liquid reserve of ordinary batteries. And because every positive plate is protected by fiberglass retaining mats to reduce shedding and flaking, the Autolite Stay Full just naturally gives longer life than ordinary batteries.
And where can one get this glorious battery?
From your nearest Autolite battery dealer who services all makes of batteries. To quickly locate him, just phone Western Union and ask for Operator 25.
And I'll tell you where you can get an Autolite Stay Full, the battery that needs water only three times a year in normal car use.
And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite. And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. Jack Benny in Elliot Lewis's production of Plan X, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
For the next week, I showed the Earth expedition around the city, signed a few treaties, and had several long conversations with Miss Morrison. Well, not too long, but I felt we were building a solid friendship. It was too bad it was coming to an end.
You're not going out again this evening, Zeno?
Mother, so I've been out two evenings in a row. It doesn't have to be fatal, you know.
This is the time of year you always get that chest cold.
Oh, chest cold, chest cold. Anyway, Mother, I have to go over to the rocket.
Don't they plan to go back to Earth tomorrow?
They plan to, yes. Miss Morrison promised to take a little farewell walk with me this evening.
Don't let her keep you out in the moonlight too long, Zeno.
Mother, why, that's the most ridiculous thing
I... You just don't know how attractive you are.
Now, Mother, Miss Morris and I are merely friends. And to think of anything beyond that is just...
Mr. Zeno! We're almost finished the game, Mr. Zeno.
Good, good. All finished, Army?
Just about. It's tomorrow morning at 8:45, isn't it?
8:45. Anything else you need, Army? I mean, any more uranium?
No, I just wanted to make sure it was 8:45. Well... See you in the morning, Mr. Zeno. Goodbye, Mrs. Zeno.
See you in the morning, Army.
Such a cute little fellow, Zeno. And smart.
Is he? Mother, you have no idea. The Earth expedition was camped beside their rocket, getting ready for takeoff the next day. Connie, Miss Morrison, waved when she saw me coming. I waved back, and... Then she smiled at me, and I smiled back. It was a beautiful evening. We walked out over the plain, Connie and I, and then we sat down quite close. Connie lit a cigarette, and I opened up a package of Gurkhog.
Zeno?
Yes, Connie. Miss Morrison.
Connie, how is it you're not married, Zeno? Don't Martians believe in it?
Oh, definitely. But there's Mother and...
And what?
Connie... You don't find me a little bit strange?
You mean because you're a Martian?
Not exactly. You see, even to Martian girls, I'm a little bit strange.
I find you very attractive, Zeno.
Really?
You're from a superior race?
Well...
The commander may not see it, but Dr. Fielding does, and I do. Your civilization, your culture, and you...
Actually, I'm...
What are the other Martians like? You know, I seem to feel there are people all around watching, waiting, and yet we've seen only you.
And the children, of course.
Yes, and the children. They've been playing around the rocket all day.
Yes, yes.
Zeno, what'll happen to this planet, this beautiful planet, when the next Earth rocket comes? And the next one?
Connie.
I'd almost like to stay here. Or I wish we'd never come. None of us.
Connie, there's something I...
What, Zeno? What is it?
It's just that it's getting cold. Maybe we better go back. I walked with Connie back to the rocket, and then I went home. There was a message on the autophonopad. The Grand Council wanted to see me at once. You sent for me, gentlemen?
13756 called Zeno. You are nearing the completion of Plan X.
I hope my work has been satisfactory.
You were selected for certain qualifications, Zeno. Set habit patterns, attention to detail, no strong emotional drives.
I remember, yes.
You have assumed a responsibility based on those qualifications.
I suppose you might put it that way.
Are you still prepared to discharge that responsibility?
Well, I think you might as well know that it's been my criticism in the past, as well as that of a lot of other taxpayers, that the Grand Council interferes entirely too much in the private lives of, well, what I mean to say...
Are you prepared to discharge your responsibility?
But about Connie, I mean Miss Morrison, isn't there some way...
You know that there is not.
Well, I suppose not, no.
Plan X will then be completed.
I assure the Grand Council, at 8:45 tomorrow morning, Plan X will be completed. I didn't sleep well that night. Mother was worried when I hadn't any appetite in the morning. She thought it was the start of one of my chest colds. Purposely, I didn't go out to the rocket until almost 8:40. They were blasting the motors, getting ready to take off.
now. I thought you weren't coming.
I overslept, Connie. That is, I didn't really oversleep, but...
The children have been here for an hour.
We're just about finished playing, Mr. Zeno.
Oh, good, Army. Did you win the game? Plan X?
I think so. We'll know in a minute, Mr. Zeno.
They're so intense. Are the children on Mars always that way, Zeno?
Well, not always, no.
Ah, come to see us off, did you, Zeno? Good boy. We counted on you.
Well, thank you.
Come over here, Fielding.
Yes, Commander.
Connie, Fielding, Zeno here has been so helpful to us that I've come to a decision.
That's very nice of you, but I'm pretty well stocked up on beads right now.
Kind of a present. Zeno, I've decided to invite you to come with us to Earth.
To Earth?
How about it, Zeno? We're taking off in 16 minutes at 9 o'clock. How about it?
Well, it's not that I don't appreciate your thinking of me, but Mother would worry and...
You see, we need you, Zeno.
That's not true.
Well, I'm afraid it is. You see, I think Zeno is a much more important man than a worker in an elevator factory.
Escalator. I'm in stair trends.
And if we have Zeno along the next time we come back to Mars, we'd be much less likely to run into, well, an ambush.
I'm afraid he's right, Connie.
He's not right.
How about it, Zeno?
Thanks, but no.
Commander, those kids... They've got some sort of a ray gun set up.
Fielding. Is it real, Fielding?
Why, it looks like it, Commander.
Get Zeno over in front of us, quick. Now they can't shoot without hitting him. Get your gun out, Parker.
You mean the kids, Commander?
If we have to, yes. Tell them not to fire on us, Zeno.
I'm sorry, Connie. Really sorry.
Oh, it's all right, Zeno. Do what you have to do.
Shall we shoot, Mr. Zeno?
Have your gun ready, Parker.
It wouldn't do any good, Commander. All right, Army. Plan X.
Did you fire, Parker?
Me, sir? Fire a gun? Well, I couldn't. I couldn't do a thing like that.
No, of course you couldn't. I don't know what made me ask.
The rocket, its motors have stopped. Its motors have stopped, Commander.
Well, we aren't going anywhere, are we?
Someone said something about going back to Earth.
Back to Earth?
Oh, no. Of course not.
Everybody all right?
What happened, Commander? What happened?
Nothing, really. It's just that Army and his little friends built a maturity ray. It takes people who are, shall we say, less advanced and increases their IQ by several thousand years.
That's amazing.
Child's play.
Zeno, do you mean to say...
Commander, Dr. Fielding, Parker, Connie, permit me to congratulate you as fellow Martians.
Utterly amazing.
Connie...
Look! Here come the Martians.
Our fellow Martians, thousands of them. They're coming to welcome us.
Connie.
Oh, look at them. Oh, they look so handsome, so intelligent, so...
Connie.
Yeah, excuse me, Zeno. I'll be back, Commander. I have to go to them. I'll be back.
Well, she did like me for a while. Before Plan X. But she did like me. Even just for a while. That's something, isn't it?
Suspense. Presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Mr. Jack Benny. This is Harlow Wilcox again, speaking for Autolite, world's largest independent manufacturer of automotive electrical equipment. Autolite is proud to serve the greatest names in the industry. That's why, during the early months of 1953, as we did last year, the Autolite family will join in saluting the leading car manufacturers who install Autolite products as original equipment. Our Autolite family is a worldwide family,
and numbers among its members some 30,000 men and women in Autolite plants in the United States, Canada, and many foreign countries, and the 18,000 people who have invested a portion of their savings in Autolite, as well as thousands of Autolite distributors and dealers, and the many leading manufacturers who use Autolite products as original equipment. Our Autolite family will salute the Dodge Division of Chrysler Corporation on the next Autolite Suspense program on television. If you live in a television area, check the day and time of Suspense so that you'll be sure to see this program.
Suspense is transcribed and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morowick and conducted by Lud Gluskin. Plan X was written for Suspense by Richard Powell. Featured in tonight's cast were Mary Jane Croft, Norma Varden, John McIntyre, Truda Marson, Howard McNear, William Conrad, Jack Crucian, Joseph Kearns, and Stuffy Singer.
The Jack Benny Show may be heard every Sunday on the CBS Radio Network. The 1953 March of Dimes has nearly passed by. If you haven't given your dime or dollar to help in the crusade against polio, why not do it now? Send your contribution to your local March of Dimes headquarters.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Kids, scary. Okay, maybe it wasn't so scary, but it could have been scary. It really could have. Wait for the next one. That one will be scary. Trust me, scary. Ooh, the werewolf, weird circle, so scary.
Of a world gone by, speak again the immortal tale, the werewolf.
Don't be frightened. It's only our neighbor's dog baying at the moon. Go to sleep. You are safe here with my husband and me.
Where are you, good wife?
Here. Shh. The boy is trying to sleep. What news of his father?
Peace to his soul. He was raving mad by the time I got him to the hospital. It was brain fever. How's the boy?
Poor little lad. He says they walked all the way from the Harz Mountains. And he's only 11. He was starved. Ate his supper as if he'd never seen food.
There's tragedy back of all this, good wife. When the boy stopped me on the road and asked for help, there was terror in his eyes.
The wolf! Help me! Oh, help me!
Oh, quiet, boy. Quiet. Nothing to fear. You are safe here by the sea. There are no wolves here. Just lie quietly, boy. I want to talk to you.
Yes, sir.
By what name are you called?
Herman. Herman Kynes.
Well, Herman, I'm afraid I have sad news for you.
My father is dead?
Yes.
That is not sad news. I thank heaven.
What?
Why?
Because my father is free of the evil one and his curse. Now there's only me. But I must go. I must hurry. I must
just get far away from the forest and the mountains.
Oh, lie back, child. Wait a bit. There are no mountains or forests here. Only the calm sea.
What do you fear, Herman? Let me sit beside you. Don't be afraid.
You kissed me.
Is that so strange?
What? It is very strange. You're kind and good, and yet you are a woman.
Poor motherless little one.
Oh, it might help you lose some of your fears, boy, if you told us something about yourself. You were born in the Harz Mountains?
No, mynheer. We lived in Hungary on the estate of a great noble. My father was steward.
And what about your mother?
She ran away from us when we were very small. My brother Caesar said it was because of her that my father killed his noble lord.
Oh, I see. Now go on with your tale.
Father took all the money we owned and put us in the sleigh. We drove fast and far until we were out of Hungary. Then he bought a cottage among the tall firs, deep in the Harz Mountains. And there we grew up.
Your brother and you.
And our little sister, Marcella. We loved her very much.
Weren't you very lonely?
The winters were long and dark. Father went hunting every day, but shut us indoors for safety from the wolves. He also forbade us to light the fire, so we used to creep under heaps of bear skins to keep warm. We'd talk of that happy time when the snow would melt, the leaves burst out, the birds sing again, and we could go outdoors and play in our garden.
A sad life for children.
No, not sad. We were happy with each other, we three. Until...
Yes, Herman, until...
The howl of wolf. Father had come from his hunting and had kindled a fire. And we were sitting around it when suddenly a wolf howled close under the window. My father seized his gun, looked to the priming, and ran out, shutting the door behind him. We waited hours, and it was nearly midnight when my brother Caesar went to the door.
I've heard no report of a gun.
Father must have chased the wolf a long way.
Or else...
Oh, no! Father's all right, Marcella.
I will look out and see if he's coming.
Take care, Caesar. The wolves may be close, and we cannot kill them.
I'll be careful. I see nothing but moonlight and snow.
Come in, Caesar. Father will come when he can.
I'm hungry.
We've had no supper, but we'll be punished if we do not wait.
Father will be glad to have food ready. Let's cook it for him and for ourselves.
Very well, I'll get down some venison. But Marcella, can you dress it?
Surely. Haven't I often helped Father? Get the iron pot, Herman.
There. I've cut off lots of slices. Now, put the fat in the pot.
Oh, be careful of the fire, little sister.
Look out the window, Herman. Someone's coming.
It's Father. And there's a man with him leading a horse.
Yes, and there's a lady in the saddle. See how the moon shines on her white face and that lovely flaxen hair.
I'm frightened.
Why, sister darling? She's beautiful.
Hola! Hola! Caesar, open the door! We have guests!
Enter, good sir. I have little to offer, but you and your daughter are welcome.
Friend Hunter, it was good fortune for us that you were out so late. We had ridden far in fear of our lives.
And we would have died of cold and hunger in those mountains had you not heard our horn and saved us.
Come, mistress, seat yourself by the fire.
The warmth is pleasant.
And the smell of food is pleasanter still. You have young cooks here, mynheer.
Yes, these are my children. Caesar, Herman and Marcella.
Welcome, sir.
We have supper already, Father.
Before I eat, I must put up my horse.
Oh, I will take care of him.
Let me go with you.
Oh, you needn't trouble. But if you like, come along. I have a shed outside.
What fine boys you are. Come close to me. Good strong arm. Sturdy shoulder. Why do you tremble, lad?
You are so white and shining.
There's no reason to fear me.
You're a stranger.
I'm not strange. We shall be friends, But where's the little girl?
She's afraid. I think she has hidden herself in bed.
Gone to bed without any supper? She must have been a bad little girl.
She is not bad, lady.
No, she's good.
You say you were lured away by a large white wolf which howled at this very window?
Yes, I saw it about 30 yards off. The animal retreated slowly and I followed. I didn't like to fire until I was sure that my shot would take effect.
A white wolf? Of course you were anxious to shoot such a very rare animal.
The wolf would leave me far behind, then stop and snarl defiance at me, then start off at speed again as I neared it. It led me further and further up the mountain to an open space in the forest. And there it stopped and growled. I raised my gun to shoot when suddenly the wolf disappeared.
Disappeared? How strange.
I thought the moonlight on the snow was playing me some trick. But no, she was gone. That's when I heard your horn.
The creature passed us just as we came out of the woods into that glade.
I nearly shot it myself. But since she led you to our rescue, I'm glad I let the wolf escape.
Father, that open glade is the home of the evil ones.
Evil ones? What does the boy mean?
Oh, superstition has it that strange and wicked beings haunt these mountains.
Oh, I must hear more of these legends. Evil spirits interest me.
I confess I was glad to see that you were mortals.
Oh, yes. My daughter Christine and I are just creatures of flesh and blood.
Yes, I assure you, I'm only a woman with very human appetites. And right now, I have a great desire for sleep.
My father made room for all of us, and we crept into our beds. But we couldn't sleep. Father and the strange hunter sat up all night before the fire, drinking and talking. Our ears were ready to catch the slightest whisper.
You say you come from Hungary?
Even so, mein Herr. I served a noble house, but my master was cruel. It ended in my giving him a few inches of my hunting knife. So we fled for our lives.
Well, we are countrymen then and brothers in misfortune. I too have fled for my life.
Your name, man?
Krantz.
What? Krantz? I have heard your story. I am your kinsman, Wilfred of Barnsdorf.
Well, a toast then to welcome you, cousin. You and your daughter must stay here as long as you choose.
So the huntsman and his daughter Christine stayed on in the cottage. The two men hunted each day, and Christine stayed with us and did the household duties. Father was becoming very attentive to Christine. They would often sit up at night talking in low tones before the fire. Then, several weeks later, we learned that Father had asked Christine in marriage.
You may take my child, Krantz, and my blessing with her.
I will duly value her. But there is no priest in this wild country.
Well, there must be some ceremony between you to satisfy your father. Will you both consent that I marry you after my own fashion?
I will.
I will.
Then take her by the hand and swear...
I swear.
By all the spirits of the Hartz Mountain?
Nay, why not by heaven?
Because it is not my humor. Surely you will not thwart me.
Yes, but why swear by that in which I do not believe?
Father, no, please don't marry her.
Be still, Marcella.
This is scarcely any affair of yours, child.
Well, will you be married, or shall I take my daughter away with me?
Proceed.
Here is the oath read out on this parchment. Read it. And swear.
By all the spirits of the Hartz Mountains, I take Christine for my wedded wife. I will ever cherish and love her. My hand shall never be raised to harm her. And if I fail in this my vow, may all the vengeance of the spirits fall upon me and upon my children. May they perish by the vulture or by the beasts of the forest. Why, this is horrible. I can't.
Swear.
All this, I swear.
Father!
Strange behavior from your children, my husband, on our wedding night.
Stop crying, Marcella. I'm sorry, Christine.
Never mind, my dear husband. I'm not angry. But from now on, the children are my concern. They shall obey me. And I shall love the little darlings.
Morning, Wilfred the hunter mounted his horse and rode away. Things went on much as before the marriage, except that Christine showed us no kindness now. She often struck us and took special pleasure in ill-treating Marcella. One night, my little sister shook us as we slept.
Wake up, brother. Wake up, Herman.
What's the matter, Marcella?
She's gone out.
Gone out?
Yes, in her night clothes. I saw her get out of bed. Then she looked at Father to make sure he still was asleep. Then she went out the door.
A wolf. She'll be torn to pieces.
Oh, no. Much as I hate her, that would be too horrible.
Well, what can have made her go out all undressed in the deep snow?
She's strange.
She's dreadful. Her eyes flash fire when they look at me. Her teeth are like an animal's.
She certainly eats queerly. Have you noticed she doesn't like to sit at the table? While getting supper, I've seen her tear at a piece of meat that wasn't even cooked.
Shh. There she is in the firelight.
She's in her white nightdress.
Washing her face and hands in the water pail. Father hasn't even waked up.
Shh. She's going back to bed.
We might as well go to sleep now, but we'll watch again tomorrow night.
The next night and every night, our stepmother rose from bed and left the cottage. And every night the wolf howled under our windows. And always on her return, Christine washed herself, then crept back to bed, and always my father slept soundly. Well, the time came when my brother could stand it no longer.
Caesar, why have you come to bed all fully dressed?
I'm going to find out about these midnight walks.
You'll tell Father?
Not until I know where she goes and what she does.
Caesar, you don't mean that you're...
Yes, tonight I'm going to follow her.
No, Caesar, please don't. Please don't. I'm afraid.
I know you're brave, but I wish you wouldn't go, brother.
I'm going now. There's no use talking.
Shh. She's getting up now.
Quiet, you two. There she goes to the door.
Be careful, Caesar. Be careful.
He took Father's gun. Oh, I'm so frightened.
So am I. I'm shaking all over.
I wonder how long we'll have to wait.
A shot.
Father will surely wake now and find out about her.
No.
Listen.
He's still asleep.
Someone's coming. Oh, I hope...
It's not Caesar. It's Christine.
Shh.
Look at her. Marcella, her dress is all covered with blood. Now, what's she doing?
Huh? Who's there?
Lie still, dearest. It's only me.
Oh.
I'm just relighting the fire to warm some water.
Hurry back, Christine, mine. You should be asleep at this time of night.
We watched our stepmother change her linen and burn the garments. Her leg was bleeding. She bandaged it and sat before the fire. But where was Caesar? And how did Christine get the wound unless from his gun? Oh, trembling in our bed, we waited. waited till dawn. Father awoke. Father?
What is it, Herman?
Father, where is my brother Caesar?
What do you mean, son?
Oh, he went out in the night. Marcella and I waited for him. He's not come back.
Merciful heaven. I was restless last night and thought I heard someone lift the latch. Dear me, husband, what has become of your gun?
My gun? Well, great heaven, it's gone.
Caesar took it.
Herman, get me the broad axe. I'm going to find Caesar.
Oh, why did Caesar go out? What has happened to him?
Be still. Your whimpering will not help. Here comes your father now.
Father. Oh, father's carrying
Caesar. It's torn to pieces. Oh.
Clear the table. There. The body of my oldest son.
Quiet, children. Herman, come to the door. Husband, your boy must have taken the gun to shoot a wolf. The animal must have been too powerful for him. Poor boy.
At that terrible moment, I wanted to tell Father all we knew, but Marcella held my arm and looked so imploringly at me that I kept silent. She and I were sure that Christine had some connection with our brother's death. Father dug a grave and piled stones on it, and for days he just sat and stared at the fire, mourning for Caesar. Our stepmother's wanderings continued. One day, Father again took down his gun to go hunting, but soon returned.
Would you believe it, Christine? The wolves, perdition to the whole breed, have dug up the body of my poor boy, and there's nothing left of him but bones.
Indeed. Then you must build a new grave.
Father, a wolf howls under our window every night.
Oh, why didn't you tell me? Wake me the next time you hear it. I'll get that wolf.
Have you not yet learned that it is safest to leave wolves alone?
Why, Christine, your eyes are wild and you're almost snarling at me.
But I'm so afraid for you, dear husband.
We never heard the wolf howl under our window again. Well, when at last spring came, and I helped my father with our small farm, Marcella was always with us, for we couldn't bear to have her out of our sight. Our stepmother stopped going out on her nightly rambles. One day, she came out to us and said she was going to collect some herbs Father wanted and that Marcella must go to the cottage to watch the dinner. Well, Marcella obeyed, and we saw my stepmother disappear into the forest in the opposite direction, so felt no danger for my little sister. But about an hour later...
Marcella!
She's by herself!
Run, Herman, run! Great heaven! Look, the white wolf.
Slinking out of our cottage. Kill it, Father.
I have no gun. We're too late. It's gone. Oh, my little Marcella.
The wolf has hurt her terribly. She's bleeding, Father.
She's dying. Marcella. Marcella, my darling. Speak to me.
The white wolf.
What's wrong? Oh, how horrible. Poor child. Oh, it must have been that great white wolf which passed me just now and frightened me so.
She's quite dead.
Oh, my poor husband. How horrible. How horrible.
We dug a grave for my darling little sister and did everything we could to protect it against wolves. Well, I was alone now. So awfully alone. But no longer afraid of my stepmother. My heart was full of hate and revenge. That very night, I saw Christine get up and go out of the cottage. I dressed quickly and half opened the door. The moon was very bright, and I could see Marcella's grave. But I saw something else. Something so horrible that I turned cold in my heart and ran to wake my father. Father! Father, get up and dress. Hurry!
What? The wolves again? I'll be right there. Get my gun.
I have it, Father. Come.
Herman, stop. Who is that crouching on Marcella's grave? Christine.
Yes, in her white nightdress. She's digging with her hands.
She's throwing the stones behind her.
Her face is as cruel as a wild beast.
Oh, she's destroying Marcella's grave.
Your gun, Father, shoot.
Yes, my son, yes. Pray that my hand holds steady. Heaven forgive me. I have killed my beautiful Christine.
No. No, look, Father. The body on Marcella's grave. The body you've killed is not my stepmother. It's not Christine.
No. No, it's the white wolf. The white wolf which lured me into the forest. The white wolf that killed my children. Oh, I see it all now. My oath. My oath to the spirits of the Hearts Mountains.
Spirits of the Hearts Mountains. I take Christine for my wedded wife. I will ever cherish and love her. My hand shall never be raised to harm her. And if I fail in this, my vow, may all the vengeance of the spirits fall upon me and upon my children. May they perish by the vulture or by the beasts of the forest.
Poor fool mortal who had a werewolf. Your beautiful Christine, a werewolf. A werewolf.
Stop, demon, stop! I shall go mad. Come, my son, my little Herman. You at least may escape this awful curse. We must flee for our lives, away from these evil forests, to the sea. There you'll be safe, my son. There you will be safe.
Now, that one was scary, huh? No, really, that one was scary. Ooh, the werewolf. Now that story's what I'd call a howling success, huh? I mean, I've seen wives that are dogs, but really, huh? I wonder what forest they found her in. Probably the dogwood, huh? And I know just how those kids must have felt when they discovered that the bone she had to pick was theirs, huh? Really. You know, it's no wonder that the offspring wanted to flee, huh? What I can't understand is what took them so long to figure it out. After all, each night she'd have to be taken for a walk, huh? Really. I bet now that she's dead, she could really use a new leash on life, huh? Well, now for a different point of view. It's Peter Lorre and the Black Cat. So scary!
Mystery in the Air, starring Peter Lorre, presented by Camel Cigarettes.
And it is the sentence of this court that you be hanged by the neck until you are dead. And may God have mercy on your soul.
No, I neither expect nor solicit belief for this wild story. I would be mad to expect it yet. Mad I'm not, and very surely I do not dream. But while there is still time, I don't know why. I feel compelled to report a series of mere household events and their consequences. These events have terrified, have tortured, have destroyed me. Perhaps some are more calm, more logical, but certainly far less excitable than I will be able to explain them. I cannot. I can only tell you the facts, and that I have to do today because tomorrow I die.
Each week at this time, Camel Cigarettes bring you Peter Lorre in the excitement of the great stories of the strange and unusual, of dark and compelling masterpieces culled from the four corners of world literature. Tonight, Edgar Allan Poe's immortal American classic, The Black Cat.
Mystery in the Air, starring Peter Lorre. Brought to you by Camel Cigarettes. Experience is the best teacher. Try a Camel. Let your own experience tell you why more people are smoking Camels than ever before. Give your T-Zone the experience of enjoying a Camel. And see if you don't join the millions of other smokers who say, Camels suit my T-zone to a T. Your T-zone, that's T for taste and T for throat, is your true proving ground for any cigarette. See if Camel's rich, full flavor isn't a delightful experience for your taste. If Camel's cool mildness isn't more than welcome to your throat, try a Camel.
No, believe me, there was nothing, absolutely nothing in my childhood which forecast the terrible events that were to come. No, as a child, I was very gentle. I got along well with everyone, but the most I liked animals, yes. All kinds of animals. And then I married quite young, and I was very happy to find that my wife shared my feelings. Very soon, we had quite a collection. Oh, we had birds and goldfish. We had a dog and some rabbits, and we had a cat. I'll never forget the day my wife brought it home. Hello, hello. You're home so early.
Look, Charles, look. Look what I brought.
Oh, look at it. Oh, the little kitty. Where did you get it, darling?
Oh, the poor little thing. Some dogs were chasing it, and I just rescued it in time.
Yes,
it was so frightened.
Yes, but it isn't frightened anymore.
Oh, it seems to love you, child. Then that's not strange. All animals do.
Yes. Nobody's going to hurt your kitty, kitty. No. How about some milk, huh? Yes. There, you see? Oh, you must have been very hungry.
Yes.
Hey, what's your name, huh?
I don't suppose he has a name. He is so young. I don't think he belongs to anybody.
Well, then we have to give him a name.
You mean we can keep him?
Keep him? What are you talking about? He has no home. We can't turn him out in the streets, can we?
Oh, Charles, I was hoping you'd let him stay.
Of course, but he must have a name. Yes, let's see. Oh, yes, a black. Yes, all black. Beautiful. Not a single white mark. Oh, I have it. He's as black as the devil. Let's call him Pluto. Yes, we'll call you Pluto. Well, Pluto grew up to be a remarkably beautiful cat, and of all the animals in our house, She became my favorite and my playmate, yes. And until it all changed, yes. And as the years went on, my character suffered a radical change, and everything changed. Huh? Why? Well, I'm ashamed. I hate to admit it. Through intemperance, yes, through intemperance. And then as drink became more and more necessary to me, I became more and more moody and irritable.
Charles, where are you going?
I don't have to tell you where I'm going.
Oh, Charles, what's happening?
What do you mean, what's happening to me?
You never used to go out every night to those vile places.
Stop nagging. Stop it! I go out because I can't stand listening to you. Nag, nag, nag all day long.
I don't know what's come over you.
There. See? Why don't you learn from Pluto? It's only a cat. He doesn't ask me where I'm going.
Yes, that's right. You never do, no. Come here, Pluto. Yes, I like it. Come here.
Be careful, Charles. Don't pick him up like that.
Let
no, you're hurting him.
Hear my never hurting. Ow! He bit me. You devil. I'll show you.
No, Charles, don't.
I'll show you. Yes, I hate to admit it, but I was so furious I kicked Pluto, and I kicked him again and hard. And well, the next morning I saw that his ear was torn, and I was filled with remorse for what I'd done. From then on, Pluto ran away in terror whenever I approached, and that in turn made me more and more irritated, and in the end it was sheer perverseness, nothing else, yes. Sheer and unexplainable perverseness that made me do what I did, yeah. I blush to admit it, but one morning I strangled the poor animal. Yeah, I killed it only because I knew that it had loved me, and because it had given me no reason for offense. No, I'm offering no excuse. I am only recounting what happened. Well, in the evening I went to the inn as usual, and I came home very late, and I fell fast asleep with my clothes on. Then I was awakened suddenly.
What? Charles, wake up! Charles!
What's the matter?
There must be a fire. I smell smoke.
Good heavens, look it! It's our house!
Oh.
Our house is burning! Come on, darling. We'll be trapped. Come on, hurry up.
Quick.
Stay up on our fire. There we go.
I can't.
Don't talk, Peter. Perhaps I can get you through the flames. Don't breathe, darling. Here's the front door, yes. We made it. We're safe.
Oh, Charles. Look, our house.
Anybody else in there?
No. Nobody else.
Just as well. Never could get them out now. Are you the owner?
Yes. That was our house.
Well, you haven't got much left then. We can't save it now.
Stand back! Stand back, everybody! The roof's gonna fall in! Stand back!
There it goes! Well, it's down now.
Funny, nothing is left but that one wall in the middle.
Look at it.
Well, what about it?
Well, look at it on the wall.
Hey, that is strange.
What are you talking about? What's strange?
Oh, there on the wall. It's still standing.
Oh, marks on the plaster.
Marks? Huh? What marks?
Well, what's the matter? You blind? Right up there on the wall, that black figure.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like a cat.
Yeah, it does. The smoke must have done it, but it certainly does look like a cat.
What looks like a cat?
There, and it's got one floppy ear.
Who's got a floppy ear?
Funny,
huh? It's not funny. It is not funny at all, you hear? I know what it is.
You know who it is?
Yes, it's Pluto. I recognize him. Yes, there, see? His ear is torn, huh? Oh, you beast. That hideous beast, it's come back to haunt me. Leave me alone! You hear? I can't stand it!
I can.
Get some water, somebody. This man's fainted.
In a few moments, Mr. Peter Lorre will bring us the climax of tonight's Mystery in the Air when Camels present Act Two of The Black Cat.
Ask a champion the secret of his success, and no doubt you'll get the same answer every time. Experience is the best teacher. Take Rose Gould, for instance, featured aerialist of Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. Miss Gould says it took experience to teach her that famous 75-foot dive into space. Mildred O'Donnell, diving champion, thanks experience for her crown. Yes, they all learn from experience. Just as smokers everywhere learn from experience about cigarettes. Back in the days of the wartime cigarette shortage, millions of smokers tried brand after brand, smoked whatever they could get. And that experience made people experts in judging the differences in cigarette quality. That was when so many people discovered that Camels suit their T-zones to a T. That Camels give them the rich, full flavor and the cool mildness they've always wanted. As a result,
more people are smoking Camels than ever before.
Experience is the best teacher. Try a Camel yourself.
The black cat is dead. Killed by its master. The house is burned to the ground, with everything in it completely destroyed. Now the scene is the almost deserted, candle-lit taproom of a local inn.
Don't you think you'd better go on home, sir?
Huh?
It's getting late.
Home, huh? You should see the terrible place where we're living now.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard you lost everything in that fire.
Lost everything, yes, I lost everything. I lost my house, I lost everything.
Well, how about that black cat of yours you used to talk about all the time?
Huh?
What was his name?
Oh, his name is Pluto.
Ah.
Yeah, Pluto's down too. Oh, I tell you, I miss him. I miss him very much.
Well, if you miss him that much, why don't you get another cat?
Give me a drink.
Ah, it's getting pretty late, sir. I mean, well, won't your wife be expecting you?
Give me a drink.
Yes, sir. I'll have to fetch another bottle.
Why don't I get another cat, huh? That's what you said. Well, why don't I? No reason I shouldn't. No reason to be in a deep of despair just because of a cat. I get another cat, maybe I'll be able to forget him. What's that? Oh, there's a cat now. Sitting on top of the table. Black cat, huh? That's strange. I've been staring at that table for 5 minutes. I could swear there was no cat on it. Anyway, where did you come from, huh? What a beautiful cat, yes. You're just as black as Pluto. Yeah, I accept you. You've got a splotch of white on your chest. Yeah. That's right, yeah. Oh, yes, come. Come sit on my lap, huh? Oh, yeah. Kitty, kitty, yes, you're a nice kitty. You're a nice cat.
Yeah. Like... Here you are, sir.
Where did this cat come from?
Cat? Oh, yeah. A big one, isn't he? I don't know where it came from, or how it got in, either, for that matter. Never seen it around here before.
Don't know who it belongs to?
Nope. As far as I'm concerned, it belongs to you, if you want it. Can't keep it here. My wife doesn't like cats, especially black ones.
Black cats, huh? How stupid. Yeah. Say, I want it. Yes, sir. I want it very much. I'll take it home with me right now.
Charles, This is such a wonderful cat. Just since last week, it's made itself so much at home. Well, you think it'd live here always.
Yes, I've noticed that.
It reminds me so much of Pluto.
Yes, but this one has a patch of white on its chest. Don't forget that.
Yes, that's right, dear. But I can't help wondering. I wonder what ever became of Pluto. He disappeared the day of the fire.
I know he disappeared. And well, maybe he knew the house was going to burn down.
Oh, see how it loves you. It's rubbing against your leg, just the way Pluto used to.
Pluto! Stop talking about Pluto!
Darling, I didn't mean anything. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, dear. I always talk about how much this new cat resembles Pluto. It just makes me nervous. Look, actually, there's hardly any resemblance at all, really. Except that they're both black. This one has a white patch on its chest and...
Oh, the poor thing. Charles, look, his ear is torn. See?
What?
Here under the fur. Oh, I never noticed that before.
Neither did I.
Why, it's just the way Pluto's... I mean...
Go ahead, say it. It's torn, yeah. Just the way Pluto's ear was torn when I kicked him, huh? That's it, isn't it?
Well, he must have been in a fight or something. But it's curious we didn't notice
it. Curious, huh? You have no idea how curious it is. No idea. Get that cat out of my sight.
Charles, you're mad.
Get it out.
How can you act that way about a poor, dumb animal?
Take it out of here.
That loves you so much. Oh, now you frightened it, dear.
Get away from me, you hear me?
The way you talk, anybody thinks you don't even like the poor cat.
Like it? I hate it. I tell you, I hate it. I hate it! Yes, in a short time the cat had been with us. I'd come to look upon it with unutterable loathing. Why, I don't know yet. The more I hated it, the more affectionate it acted toward me. Wherever I went, it followed. Whenever I sat down, it would spring upon my knees and cover me with its loathsome caresses. As if this were not enough, the white patch on its chest, which originally it had been very indefinite in shape, but gradually it assumed a very definite outline, yes, the unmistakable and ghastly shape of the gallows, a terrible engine of horror. Of agony and of death. I longed to destroy the beast, but I was prevented by an absolute unreasonable dread. I was sure I was losing my mind.
Charles, are you going out again?
Yes, I'm going out. I don't know when I'll be back.
Oh. Before you go, do you suppose you...
Why, what is it?
Will you help me bring up some wood from the cellar?
Why do you always want more wood?
The house is cold. You know I haven't been feeling well. I'm not strong enough to carry it myself.
All right, come on, I'll help you. You might have thought of this before, too.
Look out!
What? Oh, wow. Oh, that's cat. That's that beast again. It's always under my feet. It tried to trip me on the stairs.
Oh, no, I'm sure it did.
I'll get rid of that beast. Once and for all, I'll get...
Charles! Put down that crowbar.
Get out of my way.
No, Charles.
I say get out of my way. Let go of my arm.
Please, Charles, do
let go of my arm. Are you going to let go?
Oh, please!
I said let go! Why didn't you let me go? Yes, she found dead without a groan. My blind rage, my rage against the cat. I struck my wife and killed her. Well, nothing I can do about it now. All I could do was to fit myself to the task of concealing the body. Yes, I thought and I deliberated, and then it occurred to me that, yes, in the Middle Ages, they used to wall up their victims, and I determined to do the same thing. Yes, behind the wall in a cellar. I managed to dislodge a section of bricks near the chimney, and in the hole behind them, I propped the body. Then I carefully laid the bricks back in their original position, and when I had finished, no one could have told that the wall had been disturbed at all. Well, I could say to myself triumphantly, here at least, my labor has not been in vain. My next step, then, was to look for the beast that had been a cause of so much misery, but then I became aware that it had completely disappeared. Huh? 3 days passed, and still my tormentor did not appear. Oh, it's impossible to describe or to imagine the deep sense of my relief. For the first time in months, I slept, yes. I slept. Even with a burden of murder on my soul. Yes, some few inquiries were made about my wife's whereabouts, and a search of the house was conducted, but nothing was discovered. Oh, I finally could look upon my future secure. Yes?
Good day, sir. Sorry to disturb you again, sir.
No. It's you, Sergeant. Is there anything I can do for you?
Well, they're still puzzled about your wife's disappearance.
Puzzling? Well, so am I.
Well, some of her friends have been around at the police station.
What's that got to do with me, huh? You've already searched us twice. What do you want?
Well, I know, sir, but... Well, the captain sent me and the constable here to look around just once more to be sure there's no clues been overlooked. Mm-hmm. This will be the last time, sir. Only a matter of routine. We won't bother you again.
All right. Come in.
Thank you, sir. Come on, Joe. Bye.
Where would you like to look first?
Well, we might as well begin with the cellar.
Cellar, huh? All right, yes. Right down these steps. I'll come with you.
Yes, I always say searching a house is like getting ahead in the world. You start at the bottom.
Yes, I see. It's very funny.
Well, come on, Constable. Get to work.
Right.
While being searched, I folded my arms and watched. As before, they discovered nothing, but... As they were about to depart, the glee in my heart was too strong to be restrained. I burned to say but one word, yes, just one word, by way of triumph. And as they started up the steps,
I said, see, have you noticed, this is a very well-constructed house, you know.
Hey, gentlemen, you're not going, huh?
Yes, it's an excellently well-constructed house. You've never seen such a well-constructed house in a frenzy of my bravado upon that very portion of the brickwork behind which stood the corpse of my wife. I rapped with my cane. Let me heaven deliver me from the arch fiend. Oh, then.
What was that?
Wind, probably.
Wind? That's not the wind. It came when you hit this wall here. Whatever it is, it's behind these bricks, Sarge. Here, take this crowbar and knock that wall down.
Right. Wait a minute, you.
Keep quiet,
you.
Can't
do this.
Wait a minute. Where are you going?
Upstairs.
You stay right here.
Hey, this is new plaster. It hasn't even had time to set yet.
Pull it down.
Right. Here she comes. Look out.
That's what we're looking for, all right. His wife's body.
What's that horrible-looking thing sitting on her head?
How did that cat get in there?
I know how it got in there. Yes, I know. I must have walled it up in a tomb. And I never knew it, no. Look at that red mouth. Those burning eyes. You hideous. You beast. You monster. You are the devil. You made me a murderer. Now for 3 days you've been in there, waiting to send me to the gallows. The hangman will get me. Yes, I hope you're satisfied. I hope you're satisfied.
Week, the makers of Camel cigarettes send free Camels to servicemen's hospitals from coast to coast. This week, the Camels go to Veterans Hospital, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, U.S. Army McCormack General Hospital, Pasadena, California, U.S. Naval Hospital, Houston, Texas, U.S. Marine Hospital, Baltimore, Maryland, and Veterans Hospital, Dayton, Ohio.
When three leading independent research organizations asked 113,597 doctors, doctors living in every state of the Union, what cigarette do you smoke, doctor? The brand named most was Camel.
According to a nationwide survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette.
Next week, Mystery in the Air, starring Mr. Peter Lorre, brings you an adaptation of one of our star's greatest motion pictures, Crime and Punishment, based on the book by Fyodor Dostoevsky, with a special musical score composed and conducted by Paul Barron.
Mr. Pipe Smoker, here's proof for you. Proof that Prince Albert is a satisfying smoke. More pipes smoke Prince Albert than any other tobacco, naturally. Prince Albert is a mellow, mild tobacco with a rich, full flavor. Choice tobacco specially made for smoking pleasure. Specially treated to ensure against tongue bite. Crimp cut to burn slow, smoke cool. See if one pipe full of PA doesn't convince you that Prince Albert is your favorite, too. Beginning 2 weeks from tonight, Thursday, October 2nd, Camel's comedy quiz, The Bob Hawk Show, will be heard at this time over these same NBC stations.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
That one was scary, too. Ah, scary. Black cat, Peter Louis. Boo scary, boo scary. Now I know why they say black cats are such bad luck, huh? No, really, really.
No wonder so many people are allergic to them. For sure. Down, boy, down. Now, I've heard of cats on ice, but cold wives? Now, that's a new one, huh? That's what she said. I wonder why he gave her the crowbar treatment. Maybe he was sick of her prying, huh? Then again, it's possible he caught her catting around, huh? I bet when he's up on the witness stand, he'll wish that he had nine wives, huh? I wonder what the headlines will read. That's what I really want to know. It'll probably say, Pa kills Ma for Claw, huh? But I feel sorry for the man. No, really. He was literally boxed in. Literally boxed in, huh? Well, I guess that's what you get for trying to give Puss the boot, huh? But perhaps we've learned that important lesson tonight, though. No, really. There's no such thing as the perfect crime, huh? Well, kids, I've got to fly. So until next week, same cat time, same cat stand, huh? No, really. This is the count saying, let me finish. This is the count saying, the next time you get mad at your cat, say it. Don't spay it, huh?
Device to you until next week.